Amen. Thank you, Kathy and Eileen. Our scripture reading this morning is a familiar one. It comes from Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to share with you from the King James Version today. Hear the word of the Lord. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we are in our fifth Sunday of Lent, and we've been in this series that we've called Old School, and I called a little bit of an audible this morning, and we're going to look at the Beatitudes and walk through those together. And you know, I enjoy sharing from my personal life because I believe that it connects and relates somewhat, and this week was a really unique week in our life, and I hesitated on whether to share about it or not, but obviously the prayer request was going out, and that's what we wanted for people to be praying. My family was touched by some of you who had contacted and let us know that you were praying for them, and our leadership board met Monday night when I was unable to attend because I was traveling and prayed for them, and it was really touching, and so that's just a wonderful thing about this church. So my brother called Monday. And he was just gasping on the phone, and all he said was, she didn't make it. And I didn't know who he was referring to be quite honest. And we were expecting, honestly, my brother never calls, and unless he's telling us that they are pregnant. And then he texts when they have the child, and we get a picture of a beautiful child who's nursing or do whatever it is that they're doing, you know. And he says this thing. He just says, she didn't make it. And of course, I'm gasping for air, and he's crying on the other end, and there's no words. You've been in this situation before, and it's why I share the scenario this morning, is because we have been in these moments before. It may not be exactly what our family went through this past week, but we've been in other moments like that where a phone call has revealed to us that a loved one had passed. Whether they had been struggling through a long moment of care, whether it had been tragic as it is with a teenager and a child or a young person, no matter what it is that leads up to those moments, when those moments hit us, they take our breath away, and they're moments that we hoped we could avoid our whole life, if we're really being honest. We hoped that nothing like this would ever happen to anyone, much less to us. We've each lived through some moments like that. Some of us have suffered in ways that we didn't let anybody else know about, and so we've gone through moments like what my brother and his wife are currently going through, but we've done so alone and in silence. And it's been hard. And this hardness is a part of life. And it's a part of life that we wish wasn't true. We look and we're ready to see what the disciples saw as we move through Monday, Thursday, and Palm Sunday, and Good Friday, and we get ready for Easter morning. And I can't help but have felt a little bit of the grief that they may have felt on that Good Friday and on that Saturday and on that Sunday morning for us before they knew what had happened, before they knew what resurrection and new life could really look like. And so we were all traveling down as family. We were just descending upon this place in South Georgia, like I'm sure you have done before in instances that had happened in your life. And we got together, and if you've ever been in a situation like that, there are absolutely no words that help. As a matter of fact, you just try not to say anything that makes it worse. Because the only things you can really say is, I love you, I'm so sorry, I don't know why. And then you don't say, what can I do for you? You just do the laundry, and you wash the dishes, and you feed the little girls, and you take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. And over the course of the next few days, it was ups and downs of moments of happiness and playing with all the cousins that were around. They're all small children, so you can't tell them to be reverent. This is a difficult moment. They're going to knock over all of your Chick-fil-A Coca-Colas no matter what you do, right? And so they're just having a blast. There's these moments of joy. There's these moments of life. There's these moments of going outside and enjoying the beauty of the day. There's these moments of talking about how we're going to build the deck on the back to keep my brother occupied through the grief. We know what it means to keep busy sometimes, to keep our minds off of it. And this verse kept striking me as I was thinking about it this week. And I've read the Beatitudes a lot of times throughout my life, as I'm sure you have, and you've read them, you've heard them. But it said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Well, I just don't know about that. You know? I mean, it's easy to look in from the outside and say, oh, but they'll get through it. Oh, but this will happen. Oh, but it'll be like this. But if you're the one who has ever mourned, if you've ever been in that moment, if you've ever sat with someone in the depths of grief and loss and fear and sadness and not knowing what the future holds, it doesn't feel very blessed. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, there's this other verse too. I'm going to share with you from the King James again, and we read them just a second ago, but also in verse 3, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Another translation, the CEB, which we normally use here, has a different word. And if I'm going to be honest, you know, we don't like change very much. Raise your hand if you like change. Yeah, none of you do, I know. Right? And the older traditions used to say blessed when they talked about the Beatitudes. So blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But the latest translation has used this other word that I honestly didn't like. And it says happy. Happy are people who grieve because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are hopeless. Happy are people who are hopeless? I'd like to put a question mark right there and ask for a little more clarification. But the clarification we get is because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And as we were going throughout our time together, we were continuing to talk with each other throughout the week, and we would talk in private moments away from the immediate family as we had to make arrangements and get things ready and talk about stuff. And I remember at one point somebody said, I hope they can be happy again. And of course we want that. But I got hung up in my mind as I was working this week on what it means to be happy. What it means to be blessed. And I don't have a great answer for that. That's why the Beatitudes have lasted throughout time, right? Is because there's so much depth of meaning and there's so many ways to apply it and understand it in all the circumstances of our life. But what does it mean to be happy? You see, our translations, they change over time because they're trying to balance the prior understandings of what particular words means with what they mean now and how we use them in our current language. And there's this understanding of happy, right? Y'all know the Pharrell song. You've probably heard it. I'm not going to sing it. Can anybody sing? Can you hit a bar of happy? Is that possible?
Oh, Pharrell Williams.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was literally what it sounds like. Yeah, that was really good. Those were his exact words. Yeah. I'm going to be happy. Janice loves that song. She's always telling Alexa in the office to play Happy. I can hear her from across the church. And so I look back at these lyrics because I thought, you know what? It was such a popular song. And part of it is because it's catchy. But it's talking about what it means to be happy. And he says, it might seem crazy what I'm about to say, yada, yada, yada. And then it tells all this clap along. But here's where I think it gets to the point of it. It says, clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Well, I mean, that just opens it up for anybody. The question resonates in our ears. What is happiness to us? What is it that we want to do? For some of us, happiness is sitting on a beach somewhere. Anybody, is anybody's happy place? You probably posted that on Facebook. What's your happy place? I'm seriously asking, what's your happy place? What is happiness to you? Around your grandchildren, absolutely. Disney World, absolutely. All right, I'm gonna pause right there. My son Beckett, he told a joke this past a couple weeks ago that I just thought was phenomenal because he knew his audience and everything. He said the joke was, a family went to Disney World and became billionaires. How did it happen? And I was like, I don't know. He was like, they were trillionaires before the trip. Right? I was like, that's my boy, right? Like, it was funny. It was on point. Yeah, I was like, he knew his audience well. It was perfect, right? Yeah, but what is happiness? We talk about happiness being a place or a thing that we do. What? I don't know. What else would you say? What is happiness? Do what?
The woods.
The woods. Being in the woods. Peace. Yeah. Anybody else? You're like, I don't know. I'm still trying to find it. Go ahead. Do what?
Nature.
Nature. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, Miss Jane. Being with your mother. Excellent.
Family.
Wonderful things. Anybody else? What is happiness? Good food. I'm with you. Now we're in Ecclesiastes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Just eat and drink and I don't know. You'll figure it out. That's the rest of it. Well, I looked up, what is our understanding of the word happiness? Like, the terminology is called etymology. Where did the word come from? And the root word of happiness is hap. Hap, which means luck, chance, fortune, right? And then we begin to add things to the end of it. So you have like haphazard, and it means dangerous chance. It's a chance, but there's some hazard in it. There's some risk in it, right? And then we have things like hapless, somebody who's lacking luck, somebody who has no luck or very minimal luck. And then there's just a simple word, and it's called what happens, happen. And it's just simply chance in action. When we say this happened, we just mean it is. You ever said it is what it is? Yeah, that's what happens means. It just is what it is. Here's what happened. Here's what is. Here's what occurred. And then if you add why to the end of something, you just say they're full of something. So if you have luck, you're lucky. You're full of luck. If you stink, you're stinky. You're full of stink, right? Happy. You're full of chance, fortune, luck, of just what is. Isn't that strange? I think it's phenomenally strange. Because then I take the people who translated into what would be our CEB now and how they're helping us try to get back to the original meaning of what we mean when we say we're blessed. Because now when we say we're blessed, we usually mean we're too blessed to be stressed, or we got enough money, or we got our health, or we're just saying we're blessed, but we don't really feel blessed, but we're at church and they ask, so we just got to say it, you know? So they're trying to help us get back to this, and they say happy, full of chance, full of luck. And when they say fortune, they didn't mean fortune as in the fortunes that fall down from the sky and make you wealthy. They just meant what happens as in fate. The fortunes will tell, right? Like a fortune teller. They're not telling you you will be rich, although most of them do because that's how they get more money from you. But they're telling you what will happen in your life. Full of chance. And so as I reread the Beatitudes in this new translation, and I'm going to share with you once again what they are, and then I'm going to go through and read them and share with you if we kind of put in a different definition of what it means to be happy, I think it actually brings us some hope and some new understanding and insight into what Jesus was saying in these Beatitudes for us. Because see, the people who are happy are the people who have embraced what is. And I saw that this week. Because sometimes when terrible things happen in our life, we deny that they happened. We don't embrace them. We pretend like it didn't happen. It's usually the first stage of grief. Somebody calls and tells you this terrible thing has happened, and you're like, no, you better check again because that was not so-and-so. No, you got it wrong. That's the wrong person. That was not their seat. That was not them. That was not their diagnosis. That was not me. You mixed my file up with someone else's. You're calling the wrong person. I'm so sorry you wasted your time, but that is not us. That is not me. That will not be. That did not happen. This is not going to happen to me. But you see, it's those who can get through that and come to the other side of embracing what has happened, living in the midst of chance and fortune and luck, and just being slap full up on what is being what is, that the second half of these statements have an opportunity to come true. Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are people who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, because they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed, because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven, in the same way people harassed the prophets who came before you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, this next part is going to be the Stephen thinks, not the God says part, because we're trying to take and understand how we apply this in our phase of life. The people who have embraced hopelessness will see the kingdom of God. The people who embraced grief can be made glad. The people who have embraced humility can inherit the earth. The people who have embraced hungering and thirsting for righteousness can be fed until they are full. The people who have embraced mercy can receive mercy. The people who have embraced pure hearts can see God. The people who make peace can be called God's children. The people who have embraced harassment for the case of righteousness can have the kingdom of heaven. The people who have embraced insult from others because of Christ can have joy and gladness and great reward, because the prophets embraced the same before them. I wish today was a little more happy sermon, but I think that it is. You see, to be happy, to live with what is, to embrace the circumstances that come to us, to immerse ourselves in what has happened, allows us to find this thing we call happiness. And here's what I've seen in the world, and I could be wrong, The more people seem to have everything that I think will make me happy, the less happy they seem to be. There are no happy lottery winners except for the moment they win. Isn't that strange? I watched the Oscars, or I didn't actually watch the Oscars. I saw that blip of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. This is a man who has fame, money, and was at the height of his career. And something snapped. And we got to see that something is broken. Someone we would think has it all. As I watched my family grieve this week, as I watched us ride that roller coaster of ups and downs, as we sat at the funeral in front of a casket in a size they should not have to make, I saw that happiness is embracing what has happened because it's the only way to the other side of what has happened. And so as I begin to reflect back on what it means to be blessed that they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. If we haven't embraced the grief, we can't be comforted. We won't find comfort. And so as we, an Easter people, look forward through the lens of Holy Week, let us not deny what occurs. Let us feel the joy and the goodness, as well as the loss and the grief. Because without understanding and experiencing the night, the sunrise loses a little bit of its luster. And without having experienced the grief of death and loss, and the fear that love will be extinguished and go on no more because this body is no more, it is good and right to embrace that. Because then, and only then, can there truly be resurrection in this life and in the life to come. Let us pray. Lord, there are things that happen in this life that break our hearts. And we yearn to see your hand and understanding in it. And as we prepare to be your people, make us a people who embrace this life, the good and the bad. Not because the bad is the way that it should be or to condone it, but because until we do so, we may not be comforted. We may not be your children. We may not experience your inheritance of this kingdom. Make us meek and humble. And when we grieve, comfort us. And when we are hopeless, remind us that you are our hope. In your son's name we pray. Amen.